Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So last year, as we prepare to jump in this morning, last year on the first Sunday of January, I encouraged you to start reading the New Testament through. And I challenged everyone to read the New Testament in 2023. And I'm delighted and honored to be able to say I finished that journey about mid-December. It was rich for me. It was exciting for me. But if you joined us late, or if somewhere along the way you fell off, and you can't blame like Numbers and Deuteronomy this time, okay? This is the New Testament. But if you fell off along the way, I would recommend you go into a website called BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com. And I know that's a mouthful, and I wish every URL was like that, just kind of self-explanatory, like WhenDidTubeSocksBecomeUnfashionable.com. And it would just tell you. But BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com, you can plug in your year. You can even say, I want to read it chronologically, or I want to read it in this order, that order. I want to read it in reverse order. It'll give you a checkoff list you can print out, put in your Bible, and make your journey in 2024 reading through the New Testament. And then I would encourage you to share with others and invite them into that opportunity with you as well. So let's jump into Romans chapter 5. If I had to title today's message anything, it would be reconciled, exclamation point. Reconciled. And then in parenthesis, it would say, while we were still, dot, dot, dot. Reconciled, while we were still, dot, dot, dot. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through Him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, will we be saved through Him from wrath? For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. So as we jump in this morning, we're going to look at the first five verses, then we'll look at the next five verses through verse 11. So verses 1 through 5 speak to us significantly. You can see on the slide behind me, it's going to say, we have some things through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we have. We have been justified by faith. We have been declared righteous. When we're justified by faith, it simply means that Christ looks at us, and when we trust in Him, He gives us His righteousness. We are saved by His righteousness, and therefore He takes our sins, and in this great exchange, which we'll talk about in just a few moments, we receive His life. We receive His holiness. We receive His righteousness. And if you want to define righteousness, it just means a state of being right with God. So when you trust Christ as Savior, God looks at that faith and stamps your heart as being made completely right with Him. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter about the sins that you've committed in the past or the sins that you'll commit in the future. The cross of Christ tells us, I pointed over here to the cross and it is gone. I don't know where our cross went. I always use it as a crutch, but you'll just imagine we have a wooden cross somewhere in the building. But I hope that's not a statement of our theology this morning, but... So the cross of Christ declares once and for all that we have been fully pardoned by God, past, present, and future. And it's the most glorious reality of the Christian life that regardless of how we may feel in the moment, we have the righteousness, the holiness, the blamelessness of our Savior upon us because of His grace. So we have this through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified by faith. And then it tells us that we have peace with God. Hallelujah. It's one of these reality moments of because of Christ Jesus and us trusting in Him as Savior, we now have complete peace with God. Jesus Christ has done that for us on the cross. And in the beginning of a new year, it is so important for us as followers of Jesus to remind ourselves of what we have through Christ Jesus. We have justification. We've been justified. And we also have peace with God. God has declared peace with us. Before we trusted in His Son Jesus, we were enemies. But because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we now have peace with God. We also have obtained access into grace in which we stand, Paul writes. And this is a glorious truth, is this access. It means that we are welcomed into the very divine presence of God Himself. We are welcomed into nearness with His holiness. We're allowed to come into the throne room in prayer these days and ultimately one day in person. We're invited into His presence. And we have supporting scriptures that document this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, in Him, speaking of Jesus, in Him we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a simple, faltering disciple, have complete free access to the Father through faith in Christ Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we're also told, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We have all this through Christ Jesus. And so at the beginning of this year, you may not feel like you can approach God, but you are invited by God to approach Him. He wants you in His presence. He made you. He loves you. And perhaps this day you are reminded of this. And now you're ready again, afresh, to step into a daily, intimate, humble, thankful relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have this through Jesus Christ. We can boast that one day we will see God, that He will be fully glorified, and we live in this hope. We live in this absolute certainty that this will take place. And so we can live in such a way of saying something like, I have no fear. God has got me. God has got this. I'm confident and secure in my God. God will be glorified, and it will result in our ultimate good. And then we can also, through Christ, boast in our own afflictions, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to us, of boasting in our afflictions. But it means that even when we're going through tough times of grief or loss or failure or tragedy or relational hardship, because of who Christ is and what He's done for us, we can receive those afflictions, recognizing that Christ Himself was afflicted for us, and by the promise of His presence, we can endure our own afflictions. And so we might even say something like this: afflictions, on the next screen, have a purpose, and they have a presence in our life, and there is a process to our afflictions. And we might say, I have no fear. God has got me. God has got this. I'm confident and secure in my God. God will be glorified, and it will result in my ultimate good. And then Paul writes about this process, that when we're able to see our afflictions through the lens of what Christ has done, what He's promised to do, and how He's promised to be with us, our afflictions produce endurance. And endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope in the Christian life. Show me a person who is full of faithful hope, and you will be showing me a person who has endured afflictions in their life. Show me a person of deep character, and you'll be showing me someone who has endured afflictions in their life. See, the reality of it is God uses our afflictions not just to refine us, but to prepare us to be a blessing to others. He did the same thing for Christ Jesus, did He not? Would we acknowledge together today that the cross, which isn't there, the cross was an affliction of a capital offense toward Christ? But God the Father used the cross as an affliction to bless the world, that anyone who trusts in Jesus might be saved. The ultimate affliction of history was used for our salvation. So why would you not think that God would use your minor afflictions, both for your own refining and for the blessings of others? And there's this beautiful summary statement in verse 5 that says, God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And this idea of God's love being poured out, it's this abundance. God's love has been poured out on you. He's been poured out in your heart in abundance through the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said this about abundance: give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. How can Jesus say that about our own giving? Because that's the kind of giving He's done for us. He is an abundant giver who doesn't just give us salvation, but gives us every good thing that we need for life and for godliness. And then in Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6, you may recognize these verses, but it makes all the more sense in this God of abundance when it says, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Why does our cup overflow? Because the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Because He's promised to pour out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then as we look at verses 6 through 11, we have to ask, why did God do this? Why did God so graciously pour out His love? And when did He do this is probably the more significant question. When did He do this? Well, we know the when is at the cross, but perhaps you can even antedate it to Him sending Jesus, and you could even rewind further to the garden of when Adam and Eve sin, and as God is in the process of cursing the ground and cursing Satan, He begins the process of also providing for Adam and Eve by clothing them. And He also protects them by sending them out of the garden so that they would not eat of the tree of life in their sinful state. And so it's this glorious reality that God all along has planned to send His Son Jesus. But profoundly for you and me, when we say, when did God pour out His love? We read in verse 6, while we were still helpless. We read in verse 8, while we were still sinners. And we read in verse 10, while we were enemies. I want you to saturate in those truths for a moment. While you were still a sinner, while you were still an enemy of God, while you were still helpless, at that moment, God poured out His love for you by sending His Son Jesus. You see, these three whiles of helpless, sinners, enemies, you know what the response to each of those was? Christ died. You can look back at verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You can see, but God proves His own love for us in verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then in verse 10, for if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? When did God do all this for us? While we were helpless, while we were sinners, and while we were enemies. The beauty of the gospel in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, is couched in this word, while. When you had nothing to offer God, when you weren't yet clean, when you weren't yet forgiven, when you were lost in your sins, when you were helpless, when you were still an enemy of God, God took the initiative to save you by sending His Son Jesus. And at the beginning of 2024, every single one of us who follow Jesus need to remind ourselves of our helplessness, our sinfulness, and of the reality that we were enemies of God. And in that moment, God demonstrated His love for us by sending His Son to die for us. And this day, beginning of a new year, as we are reminded, we can be refreshed to communicate that to others. You know, even in the Old Testament, we see God's grace throughout it, but there's a great verse in the NIV in Psalm 65, verse 3, and it says this, when we were overwhelmed by sins, You forgave our transgressions. When we were overwhelmed by sins, He forgave our transgressions. And then lastly, in verses 10 and 11, we see we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, and how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Reconcile. Reconciliation. Perhaps you're more familiar with the word reconcile if you still do balancing your checkbook. You do a reconciliation at the end of every month. Well, we were told to do that at one point or another. And these days with apps and everything else, we kind of ooze through that. But this word reconcile is significant. In the Greek, the word is alasso. And here, it's katalasso. There's just a prefix to it. But has a couple of different meanings. One meaning is it's properly, decisively change, as when two parties reconcile when coming to the same position. Another meaning is it was originally used for the exchange of coins, which has lots of rich meaning for us. So the idea of reconcile, God reconciled us to himself by sending his son Jesus. We brought into reconciliation because of God's initiative. It's the idea is to mend a relationship. It's also the idea of to trade in. Think of it like exchanging a currency that you can't spend. Whether it's lira or pesos or yen or francs or euro, when you come back to the States and you've been to a foreign country and if you've still got a pocket full of foreign cash and you go to Walmart, you should go to Walmart, but it doesn't matter if you've got $1,000 in your pocket of francs. You are just as poor as the poorest person there, because your francs don't matter at Walmart in Christiansburg. Your yen don't matter there. Your lira don't matter there. Because why is that? We're under a different economy. We're in a different set of laws and regulations, and the exchange rate is always not the same. You need to reconcile that money. You need to change it in. You need to recognize the new system, the new economy that you're living under. You can't spend the old currency in the new place. And so you hand in all that money that's good somewhere else, but it's not good in this new kingdom, so that you can buy and trade and live in this new kingdom. Spiritually, it's the same thing, isn't it? For you to get into God's grace, you must exchange what is not valuable in his presence, which is your life, your works, your junk. You got to bring it all in and you got to reconcile that. And you give it all to God and you exchange it for the life of Jesus and his righteousness and his holiness, his blamelessness. And God gladly takes all of your old currency of your life, and he gladly gives you at an exchange rate that benefits you all of his currency that's good in the kingdom of God, which reigns over all the kingdoms of this world. The exchange rate is faith in his son Jesus. You must trust in God's authority and accept what he has set as the exchange. As we live as kingdom citizens with new currency and new ways and new thinking and new life, completely forgiven and completely free, because we've been reconciled, because we've been made right with God, because we have received the life of Jesus for our old sinful life, we have been made full of the Father. And it overflows in any grateful follower of Jesus. Will then not just receive reconciliation with God, but you'll become an agent of reconciliation. You'll go stand in your own exchange booth telling people that if they'll bring in the currency of their own lives, they can receive the currency that you found can spend anywhere. And that's the life of Jesus. And Paul hammers this point home in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. this idea of us being agents of reconciliation, because he says there, everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We've been made exchange agents. And so in 2024, can we fully accept and act on this commission, this assignment from the Father to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us. And it starts here with you in rejoicing in your own reconciliation. And then it overflows from your life into others as you explain to others how they may be reconciled to God through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus told a parable of this exchange, one sentence parable in Matthew 13, 44. As I read it, just think about this exchange taking place and the joy that undergirds the exchange. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. And then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and he buys that field. In this new year, be fully reconciled to God and share this joy of being reconciled to him. I want to invite our worship team to come forward to dismiss us and lead us in worship. But here are your reminders from today, and they're just bullet points from our passage. Our reminders are this, that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have obtained access, and we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. And also, we can boast in our afflictions because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given for us. And we've been reconciled, and we are agents of reconciliation. Let me pray for us this morning.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.